Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Pompeiani. Sorry, Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
Sorry,
I've known
Bob.
You my whole life, it seems.
No,
We have turned into golf friends.
I know.
And that is what I get.
I know. It was completely unintentional. Bob Pompeiani sitting across from me today. And this is fun. I think we all agree here. There's suddenly like a new energy around the franchise. This is what winning decisively, 2 weeks in a row, no less. And I don't care who they're playing. They've played a lot of crappy teams over the last 3 years, too. And if they win, they're winning 13-12. There's something to be said for that. But there's also some new guys around. You know what I mean? There's namely Russell Wilson last night. Beanie Bishop making game-turning plays. Deshaun Elliott lighting people up. There's been the arrival the past few years of some new energy with young players. This offensive line, you tweeted out Mason McCormick with the windmill celebration.
That's pretty cool.
That was tremendous.
That says a lot.
What play
about
was
him.
That after, or what was happening?
That was
at
after
that
a first down run. So
God, that was great. So there's also, and it manifested in two scenes, I thought, last night. One, which was great, was all the players, or a bunch of them, jumping around Danny Smith when they got the block kick that counted. The first one should have. It was a joke call on Minka. That should have counted. You know it should have counted when you get one of these refereeing consultants who go on there and, you know, twist themselves into a pretzel trying to back the guys on the field. And Terry McCauley was like, nah, that was a bad call. You know what I mean? Horrible call on Minka, right, Bob?
It really was. I mean, I understand there's a rule and you see you're not allowed to use it as leverage. He didn't. He touched them. He has no choice to leap over someone. You got to make a little bit of contact, but it did not do what they claimed it did. So that was a bad call. And boy, Danny Smith, I thought he was going to chew the gum. I thought there was going to have to be, you know, some sort of Heimlich maneuver going on with gum stuck in the trachea.
Him and Tom were going crazy. And then to see them get one that counted and to see him jumping around and the players, including Highsmith, jumped in. They love that guy. And that was a great scene. And the other was the, oh my God, we have a great name for this. The Najee leap into the crowd. It could just be the Najee leap, by the way, but he already has that.
Okay.
So you tell us what the voting is like, Bob. We're looking for the Steelers to continue to do this celebrating in the crowd. And one person says, why do we need a name for it? Because we're having fun. That's why.
Yeah.
What do you have out there, Bob? What's your Twitter poll say?
So here we go. In 17 minutes, almost 600 votes, and Pittsburgh Plunge has the lead at 41%.
Yeah.
Yunzer Leap is second, followed closely by Jagoff Jump.
What does Bounce, Jagoff Jump have?
25%.
So that's not
Berg
bad.
Bounce is not being well thought of.
So it's still a ball game here.
It's still a ball game.
Here's some others that have come in. This one's unbelievable. The Pompeiani Pounce.
No.
Do you like that, Bob?
No. No.
The Acrisure Ascension, the Terrible Tumble. You guys stop me if you like one. It might be a while before you stop.
The Terrible Tumble isn't bad.
That's not bad.
It sucks. How about the the Terrible Dive, the Heinz Hop, the Jagoff Jump? We already did that. The Yinzer Mount, the Stiller Splash, the Clint Hurdle. You like that, Bob? The Clint Hurdle. Anybody?
The Clint Hurdle.
Clint Hurdle tweeted last night. Yeah. Did you see that?
He's very much engaged on X here, and he does comment a lot of things.
He said he taught Danny Smith everything he knows about
gum chewing. Yeah,
tremendous. The curtain call with a little play on the steel curtain.
I like that.
Do you like that? Limits the curtain call.
The curtain call.
Yeah,
that is a curtain call of sorts. That's not bad, is it? Bob, usually I order a small coffee. Today, look at the size of this thing. It's bigger than Malzi's cranium. I didn't even know they sold them this big. This is like a keg. I might as well have ordered a keg, and they might as well have given me a tap at the counter. What? Look, do you see what I'm drinking here?
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable.
You like iced coffee. See, I'm just never...
Sweet foam. They're sweet. It's like whipped cream on the top of the thing. And...
You don't need that.
I know.
You know, you're somebody who comes in and you wipe down everything. You're always aware of your surroundings, and yet you're going to put whipped cream on an iced coffee that is too big for you to consume. That sounds totally against what you stand for.
The Rooney Leap? How about that? It's not good, I know.
How about...
The North Shore Sore? No, it's got to be...
The
people,
North Shore Sore.
No,
that's just a tongue twister as I try to talk.
You can't have a tongue twister. The whole idea is to be catchy here.
How about the Harris High Jump?
Not bad. Yeah, not good.
But then again, he's,
just not good. That's all. The Berg Bop, the Pitfall. I like that.
I like the Pitfall.
Yeah.
I do like that.
The Log Jam. That doesn't even make sense. It's clearly so far the Pittsburgh Plunge. The Pittsburgh Plunge is winning this thing because it's a great name for it.
And there's such a thing as the Pittsburgh Plunge
Pittsburgh. I'll tell you this thing. The Jagoff Jump is closing in on the Yinzer Leap, Bob. It's only 5 percentage points from second place and a silver medal here. Let's go to the lines. Noon hour. We're going to take a trip around the league, but we're going to start the noon hour with Bob regaling us with stories because the 74 Steelers regaled him with stories at a dinner the other night. Bob, you want to just give us a quick tease as to some of the stuff you're going to tell us at noon?
Well, it was fun because those guys came back and it was the first of the 6 Super Bowls, and the way it unfolded was rather interesting, very similar in a way to what's happening now. But they also talked about, some of the highs and lows. Terry Bradshaw was on part of the video, and it was interesting to hear him talk about, he thought his career was over, and Chuck Knoll said no. He was not the starter that year. It was Joe Gillum, because there was a strike and he didn't show. Gillum did well, so he rode that, much like Justin Fields rode into this season as the starter, and then 4-1-1. All of a sudden, there's a quarterback switch, and he puts Bradshaw back in.
Well, let's talk about that at noon, because I know you talked to a lot of the guys, and my understanding from a few different people is it was just great stuff. It really was. In the meantime, everything's on the table. The new energy around here, are we going overboard? Are the Steelers a legit contender in the AFC? We'll talk about that more in a minute. And the quarterback change. What it did in its many manifestations to change the Steelers' offense. One thing is that when you have a mature passing game in the NFL, everybody becomes a target. I forgot Van Jefferson even played here. I mean, when you have that kind of passing game, and again, it begins at the line of scrimmage with a quarterback who is able to recognize things before the snap, who's able to change into the play he wants before the snap. All of that, you have that now. 412-928-9370. Limits?
Let's go to Seth in East Liberty.
Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to say that I was the author of the Jagoff Jump.
You were the guy? Okay, good. Austin has been looking at the text line, so that's a good one. I like it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I love it. I support the curtain call, though. I really love that, too. What I really want to say, though, is that I am a Tomlin hater, for sure, but he got this one right. I did not think that it was the time to bring in Russell Wilson, but he looked spry. Obviously not making the runs that Justin Fields did, but he was able to get out of the pocket and move well, and he commanded the offense, just like you guys are saying. I am energized, I'm happy, and I'm pumped for the rest of the season.
So let's just take that for what it is right now, Scott. And you bring up Tomlin, and I wanted to bring that up too, as part of the new energy, Bob. I said this last week after the game, that I love Mike Tomlin. Like, he's the perfect representative for the city as a coach. He's like one of the fans at times. He feeds into that energy the way that he does on the road with the fans, the way he was last night. Did you see him blow the kiss into the camera? He's great. He is. But the problem is he hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years. So yeah, you get on him. I get on him. That's way too long. Way too long. Like, disturbingly long. But wouldn't it be great if he got back to winning some playoff games and we were all one big happy family, Bob? Because I want to just love the guy. You know what I mean? His energy is phenomenal.
And I can tell you that he is legit when he talks about the fan base and how it comes out. And he believes it really has an impact on how they play. So, again, Monday night's going to be one of those atmospheres as well. His record on primetime night games as a head coach of this team is as good as anyone in football history.
And unsolicited, after the Raiders game last week, the first thing he mentions post-game is the crowd. And then you see the video backing it up of him coming off the field. And then last night as well. But you gotta win big games. And the problem is that the Steelers don't win big games anymore. But for this morning, that suddenly seems possible again. And in the name of all coming together for a day, Bob, let's be happy, shall we? You seem very happy today.
Well, like I said, I think most of the time I am happy. You should be happy. You know, you only have so many chances at this game of life. I don't want to sound like I'm a preaching father, but that's what I do with grandkids now too. You know, just try to get in their head how important it is to just enjoy every day. So win,
I'm going to be a grandfather,
whatever.
Bob, in mid-November or thereabouts.
You are?
Grandpa Joe, yeah.
Grandpa Joe, congratulations.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know this, Bob?
No.
Yeah, my stepson Michael and his wife Abby. Expecting a little baby girl.
Why didn't you say this before, did you? I didn't know this.
I thought I did.
No,
thank you.
I don't remember you saying anything.
Should I grow a long gray beard and really, you know, sort of buy into the role?
But you should, you know, you should worry about diaper changing. Because I found in the gap that I had between my daughters, and I believe me, I didn't do it a lot. My wife took care of most of that.
Yeah.
But I did it sometimes. And the gap between that and when you become a grandfather and when you are babysitting.
I'm an expert at it, Bob.
Oh, no.
I thought I'd be horrible.
Not
at
when
it.
You get projectile stuff going on, when you
used
prematurely take the diaper off before it's ready to be taken off.
People used to say when I had my daughter on my shoulder, like she'd puke on my shoulder. I loved it. I loved everything about it. Go ahead, puke more on my shoulder. This is great. But the diaper genie, Bob, you throw the used diapers in the diaper genie. Did you ever have to take out the bag after like 3 weeks of that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's not a pleasant sight.
They should use that to like smoke out prisoners and things like that. Or criminals.
The diaper genie's going to make you come out. We can't negotiate with you, but this diaper genie's going to make you leave.
This person doesn't want to confess. Bring in the diaper genie bag. They tell you whatever you want to know in 5 seconds limits. You'll be there someday soon. I can feel it.
Oh, boy.
Next.
Let's go to Dave in Ford City.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. I think you need to take a break and like have a cigarette after this love fest you're having, man.
What do you got?
I mean,
what do you got? Go ahead. No, you talk.
It was a good night at the office.
Okay. Hey. The thing about Russell Wilson, you know, he wasn't so accurate. He threw up passes like Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swann and Stallworth, straight up in the air and wait for them to jump up with all their skills and bring it down.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but it's not the greatest passing in the world, you know? Now, the second thing is that wait till we play a really crummy team and see if we can be prepared for it. That's what I'm waiting for. Someone's a bunch of bums, and we'll lose to them.
Like last week's game against the Raiders?
Well, wait a second. There's other bums out there we're going to lose to. We got a history of losing the bums. You know that.
See, all right. You're very entitled to your opinion, but you're throwing a wet blanket on this all. Let me ask you this question.
I know.
Do you think they upgraded with Russell Wilson?
Do I think that Russell Wilson had an okay game? Hmm. He got lucky throwing the ball up in the air like he did. He got lucky. Let's put it that way. Good thing we had Pickens.
Well, let me ask you.
That's kind of the point is that you have Pickens. So go down the field to him with catchable balls. That's the idea. But there was also, you got to give Russ credit for the beautiful end zone pass that had perfect touch on it. And again, I think the part you're missing is the part before the snap. identifying where you're going to go, the pass to Freiermuth in stride, the pass.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. You're right.
All of that.
His experience and his wisdom has brought him to the point where he can walk up very much like Rodgers does and assess the situation. You're absolutely right about that.
And what did you want to say to Bob?
Bob, nothing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got to clip that. You have to clip that. Listen, skepticism is well earned here. I'll admit that. I just feel like being happy for a day, Bob. And I do honestly feel like suddenly, at least it seems, all things are possible. Because it seems like if you go into a game against the Josh Allens and Joe Burrows and Patrick Mahomes and C.J. Strouds of the world, you have a chance to put up 30 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I know they did last week. I know they did last week. But we all could see a difference in the pass game. Anybody who knows football could see that.
And again, the guy's been there, done that. He knows how to operate a professional offense, one that was good at throwing the ball down the field when he was in Seattle. And in many ways, I know that we're 7 games into this now, but you could look at this as potentially the beginning of what this Steelers season will be like.
You know what I can feel in my bones right now, Bob? I think Pony's going to open with Justin Fields would have won this game by just as many. I can feel that.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't. I think he's completely changed his opinion.
Is that based on tweets?
Yeah, based on tweets. I think, yeah. In fact, you should look. We should look. Because he was really critical of this move, and I would imagine he'd have to change. You're going to look? Because my thing is frozen here.
Now, last week we had, who was on with us last week who said that Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka was really just a bad guy?
Who are you talking about when you were talking to him about what Roundtree said on the air and a caller?
Who was my guest?
Was it Garrett Padel or was it
Rich Cimini? Somebody in the studio last week with me who was saying that Grandpa
Bat
Joe... Yes. No, it was somebody else who said that this
Hokey?
That this was a bad guy. That Grandpa Joe didn't work. He just stayed in bed all the time. And then when there was a chance to make money, he jumped out of bed. Do you agree with that, Bob? That the original Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka was actually a bad guy?
I haven't thought about it, to be honest. So I don't have an answer for you, Joe. You cease to amaze me with these recollections back in time
this?
Out of the blue.
Do you remember who it was?
I can't remember who it was, no.
Oh, God, I can't remember
It was not
either.
Somebody in studio, though. I know that.
I know. It was somebody on the phone. I can't remember. Next caller.
Let's go to Randy in North Carolina.
Would you agree that that movie never should have been remade, Bob?
I'm not a big fan of remakes.
No. Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka? Yeah. Why would you want to do that?
I like originals. I do not. Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Well, good. I want to compliment you on talking about the movies, and sequels generally don't do real well. But I was one of the few, and your boy from Ford City seemed a little clueless. So I just wanted to hope he's still listening. Russell Wilson, a lot of people, when he came in, a lot of my friends were hammering that he shouldn't be here too old. And the thing is, I heard at the beginning of the season, and I look at NFL statistics, at Denver, he had the worst starting 11 as far as consistency and numbers than any quarterback in the NFL. That makes your job hard. And he is older, but he is more mature, and he is a more pure passer. And I've been saying this for weeks, just give him a chance. And when Tomlin came out and said, good is not great, he was on point.
Right.
Now, he was on point. Now, early in the game, I'm thinking, okay, did I mess this up? Is he too rusty? I expected some rust. He looked like someone at Kennywood trying to hit something with baseballs from 50 years ago when they won a state championship, but he just wasn't doing anything. But I did have one question, though, for you guys. You know, we talked about the number two wide receiver situation. Do you see Roman Wilson coming in at all and having any impact on this offense? I didn't see him last night at all. I thought he was on the roster last night, but I didn't see his number called. And outside of that, again, I was one of the ones that pushed this, and Wilson does have a touch, and he does have the maturity to get up and read the defenses and audible out, and his play action is smooth as the other side of the pillow. So,
man, is it ever. That's a huge thing, too, for them, play especially action. When they're running the ball like
they did it a lot last night under center. He was under center over 40% of the time, which is something we haven't seen a lot from Steeler quarterbacks over the years. And when you do that, you can really sell the job of play action. And in those times he was called upon to do it, I think I saw number 8 for 9 for like 120 yards. So
Bob, very quickly here, as we launch into this topic for the next segment, we now have 7 games. So we're getting close to the halfway point. We're getting close to the bye week. How would you judge the Steelers in the AFC? Realizing there was a profound change last night, but we can also judge other parts of the team from what we've seen. To me, the Chiefs always are number one. I think the Ravens are the second best team right now in the AFC. And then I think it's Steelers, Bills, Texans, take your pick, with the Bengals, I think, rising because of Joe Burrow mostly. So I think that the Steelers can make an argument for the third best team in the AFC and one with real possibilities. They're plus 60. They're plus 60.
Yeah, they've scored more points than a lot of teams in the AFC.
Where would you put them?
I think you know how I feel, because I picked the Texans to be a Super Bowl representative this year. I really like their team, and I think Joe Mixon takes them to another level. I would put them, I'm not sure who's, I think Kansas City, got to defer to them, of course. Baltimore and Houston are two teams that I have ahead of them, and I've liked both of those teams, but the Steelers took a jump. We talk about the Berg bounce. Well, they've bounced in the Power 5, if you're going to look at it, based on one performance. But I will caution you, it's one performance. We'll see how it goes up. But they've jumped over a lot of teams. I would not necessarily put Buffalo I wouldn't put them ahead of Buffalo either. I think Amari Cooper is going to make Buffalo something.
We've
given the quarterback and all his options, two great tight ends, the running game, all these receivers now, including Keon Coleman. They have a lot of weapons there, and I think that'll help them well.
Josh Allen, all he's doing this season is completing, his passer rating's 108, 15 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
He's not been in picked off yet, right?
0.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback, on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I thought he was excellent. I thought he got better as the game went on, man. But I'm not surprised by that, man. It's been a while since he's played some ball, but I thought he settled in, knocked the rust off, man, and distributed the ball around and played well.
He played well. Joe came in here on a euphoric high, and now what tends to happen, what follows is a low. Now you're down in a valley.
I'm crashing, Bob. I need a revival. Like all of us, I was up till 2. And sleep deprivation. The 2 days before that, I went to bed early. It's unbelievable what sleep does for us. It's the most basic thing in the world.
And
it changes everything.
If you don't have, like, I'm a late guy too, just because of work. If I could change that, I'd love to change that. In time, I will change that. So that you get to bed at a reasonable hour. And then the mornings are beautiful.
Do you still eat salty snacks late at night?
Yeah, that's my
advice. You got to cut that out.
Like what,
potato chips?
Mostly, yes. Not a lot, but just enough to give me what I need from a chip.
What do you need? To soothe your anxieties late at night?
No, it's just, yep. I don't know about you, but I cannot watch anything on television, sports related, without doing something. Now, what I need to do is switch out the chips for carrots or something, or grapes or
Nobody
some other.
Nobody wants carrots, Bob. Yeah, we all want chips.
I think what I want is the crunching.
Crunching,
it doesn't necessarily matter if it's a chip or a carrot.
Funny you should say that. What I want from a drink at night is the fizz. And it doesn't matter if it's club soda or Diet Coke.
There's
but
something.
Clearly there's a better choice there, right?
No question. So I got to make a better choice.
Let's get back to the lines. Top of the hour. Bob had a chance to visit with a bunch of the 74 Steelers Saturday night and has some very good stories about talking to those guys. In the meantime, you know, I'm getting some feedback. This is an overreaction. I'm not sure what the overreaction is. Like, Russell Wilson gives the Steelers, I think it was evident last night, and I think Bob agrees, their best chance to stick around longer than they have in previous years. And this looks like a fairly complete team to me. More complete and better than any Steeler team since the start of 2020, since Bud Dupree got hurt. I'm not sure I see glaring weaknesses. They need another receiver for sure. But like I said,
how about Darnell Washington?
Yeah.
Big in the pass game. Let's talk about him a little bit too.
And how about Warren coming back in the pass game now where he's looking like a bowling ball out there? They need another receiver. But which position group stinks? Like in previous years, you could point to certain position groups and say they're way below the line, or at least they're below the line. I'm not sure I see one of those right now. Maybe receiver beyond Pickens. But like I said, Bob, a mature NFL passing game makes everybody a weapon. So which position group stinks? And do you agree with my opinion that it's their most complete and best team since early in 2020?
Complete and best team since, probably, yes. Just because they have a professional passer. And again, the whole point of this, I'm sure Mike Tomlin wanted to just get more out of the passing game, and without getting it from Justin Fields, and you know, he did a very good job, but he also was 28th in the league in passing. That has to improve. If you're going to compete with the big boys who have really good passing games, you're going to have to counter with one of your own, and that's the one thing that Justin Fields did not do as well as he did compared to running with the football or whatever else he did. So that's what he was looking for, and he got it. It took a while to get it, but he got it. Now the question is, where can they take it? And you're right. If they're healthy, obviously the offensive line and the injuries are tough. Any more of those injuries will make it difficult. But those young kids responded. If they play that way, they'll have a chance to be in just about every game. I look at their running backs as a plus, according to most of the league.
Well, why don't we start there? Let's just go very quickly and rate position groups within the league. Running backs, I put them right when Warren is healthy, that combo is right at the top of the league.
And if you add a big Cordarrelle Patterson into it, all of a sudden it's even better.
Top five in the NFL, yeah. I think, running back room. Quarterbacks, Wilson makes it different. I'll put him in the middle of the league. He's an obvious upgrade on what they had last year, and I think he's an upgrade on Fields. So you know, I say quarterbacks, good enough, and somewhere around the middle or just above the middle of the league. You agree?
Yeah, and it's still a work in progress because it's one game only. But yeah, it's improvement. That's where I would put it. So middle of the league sounds about right.
Tight end, top 10 tight end, right on the verge of the top 10.
They use a lot of them.
Pretty good room, I think.
Yeah, it's not a weakness.
Freiermuth made an unbelievable one-handed catch last night.
And he made a great block last week to spring Najee down the sidelines.
Receivers, I still think they need a second receiver. But when Pickens plays like that, suddenly you have a star and a bunch of role players, which isn't bad. I'd again put that middle of the league or so. You?
And I think Wilson can bring out the best of that group better than we've seen. But yes, would I still be looking? Absolutely, I would.
Offensive line, I thought they played great last night. I'd put them slightly above middle of the league.
Yeah, and victimized by all these injuries. I think if they're healthy, they're better than that, but they're not healthy. So they're putting a lot of young kids in there, and time goes on, we'll find out what it is.
Defensive line, top five in the NFL.
Yeah, I think they get a lot of pressure without the benefit of a blitz.
Outside edge rushers combination, number one in the NFL.
That counting Herbert.
1 or 2.
When he gets back, all of a sudden depth, yeah, and absolutely.
TJ didn't even do a lot last night because they paid him so much attention, and yet they still delivered defensively. I know the Jets made some plays. Guess what? The Jets have Aaron Rodgers slinging it. Breece Hall's great. Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams. That's a good offense. They're going to make plays. Mm-hmm. Inside linebackers and secondary, a huge upgrade from where they've been. Huge upgrade. Patrick Queen's been a little uneven, but it's still a massive upgrade.
Yeah, they're healthy and putting up tackles. And I think Queen's gotten better step by step along the way. I think you're seeing the emergence of Peyton Wilson. And as far as cornerbacks, you know, people did not like that trade for Deontay Johnson as if it was done too prematurely as just a means to get it out of town. But what they brought back was a guy who's played very well for them in Dante Jackson. So he leads their team in interceptions. You couldn't ask for more from him so far.
And Deshaun Elliott's been a revelation.
Now, the depth over there is a little concerning to me.
Yeah, a little concerning. Plus, Beanie, obviously, stepping up last night with huge plays. The play of the game. The play that turned the game. I guess the overall point there is that, unlike in all recent years, you can't point to one position and say, God, they stink there. You know, I think they're at least average everywhere, good in some places, great in others, and now they have a quarterback who can unlock things, it would appear. We'll see how the Russell Wilson story plays out, but I like where the Steelers are right now, Bob. And do you know who they'd play if the season ended today?
We play that game a lot. So they would be division winners, right?
They would. I don't think they will win the division, but they would be.
No, but for right now, you're asking now.
Yeah.
Who would they play? Oh, I haven't looked at it deep enough.
Wrong. The Chargers with the fighting Jim Harbaugh would be back.
Makes
yes.
a big difference
in
where it
Pittsburgh.
Is. Although in the past it hasn't, but in this case, I think it would.
Failing that, let's pop the Ravens over them. The Ravens didn't play this week. It would be against
the
fighting.
Well, they're playing tonight, and we'll find out what they do tonight.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Failing that, let's say Ravens win tonight, they'd be in first place. It would be against the fighting Josh Allens.
I don't want that matchup.
In Buffalo.
Again,
that would be
I don't
a tough
want that
one.
Matchup.
But I think they could win.
Sure they could. But I
They're
still don't
way
want that matchup.
Better equipped to win than they were last year. Going
and if
there.
You remember what Russell Wilson did to the Bills last year in a game, do you remember that game?
Yes, I do.
He passed stride for stride with Josh Allen. He had a whole bunch of yardage in that game.
And won it at the end.
Right.
Let's take one more call before we go to Bob regaling us with story time limits.
All right, let's go to Leanne and Cecil.
That sounds like a wonderful idea. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, great idea. I just wanted to comment. I lived in Seattle for 10 years during Russell Wilson's years. And it
yes.
was very painful as a Steeler fan living there. But he was so clutch with that moon ball to Tyler Lockett. I mean, it was consistent. Every game, it seemed like there was like four of them. Nobody can intercept them. They can't detect the ball. So he has the clutch gene. Like at the end of the game, I'd always be rooting against them. Every time he'd bring them back down the field to score. He is so talented. I think he went through some years of maybe not being in a good system. But, I mean, for watching him for all those years, I mean, he has the ability to take us places.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. Bob, do you?
Yes, because he has the experience, and that's why they got him. They didn't get him because he was some young up-and-coming guy. They got him because they haven't had a quarterback since Roethlisberger who was capable of doing what we saw last night. And can he get better? Sure. Can things go the other way a little bit? Yes. But at this point, based on not playing since last Christmas, he came into a game, and he was the difference of the game as it went on. So I got to believe that's going to make everyone around him better, and I think you saw that.
The possibility is there anyway. You know, I compared it last week to a game show. It was as if our friend Little City Limits, Bob, who weighs in at 140, 5'10", 140, if he was on Deal or No Deal with Howie Mandel, you ever seen that show? And Howie said to Limits, you can have your $50,000 and go home, which to me is you can have your 8-9, you can have your 9-8, 8-9 sneak into the playoffs, maybe miss and get blown out again and get praised wildly for how great the season was. Or you can shoot for something better. You can use your lifeline, Bob. And that's like Limits using you as your lifeline for his next question. Mike Tomlin's lifeline, as he saw it, was Russell Wilson. he at least wants to try for something better. He wants to try for the big prize. Even Tomlin is sick and tired of having 18-17 slugfests that Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth praise you for because you've lowered yourself to a mud bath with the Dallas Cowboys, an inferior team. Oh, this is where the Steelers want to be. No, it's not. They want to be engineering victory more fluidly for the millionth time. Even Tomlin was sick of those kinds of games. He knows he's not going to get anywhere. Finally, in those kinds of games, except to the playoffs and an early loss. So he activated his lifeline, and we'll see where it goes. Game one, it seems like there's big possibilities. You figure Russell Wilson will get better with time. He hadn't played. He was like Grandpa Joe coming off the couch limits after 40 years in bed, right? He hadn't played in practically a year, a down of competitive football, and everybody from Ryan Clark to Trey Wingo to everybody else is freaking out early in the game. And I have to say, privately, I was thinking at home, oh my God, this guy looks like Denver.
Yeah.
Bad Russell Wilson from his first year in Denver. They're going to have to pull him before he embarrasses himself.
What play was it that he threw it towards the sideline? It was supposed to be like a quick, pass to Calvin Austin.
Yes.
It was a bounce. He's playing at basketball out there. He's giving puns about baseball in the press conference. I thought it was a basketball game in the start of that game. Overthrows and throws into the dirt, but he really recovered and played very well.
But make no mistake, when Mike Tomlin made this decision, it wasn't, even if that continued the entire game, he was not going to take him.
No, and Tomlin looks right.
And he looks at this as the two games he wanted to see before they got to a break to reassess everything.
He wants something better for himself.
Right.
He said it. Good, but not great. He said it last year. We're firing Canada at 6-4 because we want to win in easier fashion. He knows you can't live like that long term. Took 7 years. Took tripling down on Matt Canada, for God's sakes. How much is that decision being underscored every week? How sad that was and how derelict of duty of Tomlin and the people above him to bring that guy back for a third year. We had to watch that, at least for half the season. But you know what? He's exercised his lifeline. At least he's finally realized this ain't going to work. We need something better. Maybe Russell won't work, but at least we're giving it a shot. And like I said, the early returns are promising.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.